Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Oh, you know you're having a good Easter week when you reach the peak at the very end of the week with Carla Roussard last hour and this hour, Everett Fritz. We are at a high point. And you're going to want to listen to this hour, I believe, because there is a kind of slow motion disaster going on in parishes and families around the Western world. Our young people are losing their faith or even in many cases failing to receive it. The numbers are probably way too depressing to talk about on a Friday. So instead of dwelling on that, we're going to talk about how we can begin to turn things around. How can we form young disciples for Christ, people who are willing and able to accept the gospel and to live it as adults? If you have questions or points you would like to make in that area, forming young disciples for Christ, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour, as I said, is Everett Fritz. He's the best-selling author of one of the most sought-after Catholic speakers in the country. In 2016, he founded St. Andrew's Missionaries, an organization dedicated to training and equipping the Catholic Church and families in discipleship for young people. He's the author of the best-selling book, Freedom, Battle Strategies for Conquering Temptation. And his newest book is The Art of Forming Young Disciples, Why Youth Ministries Aren't Working and What to Do About It. We're both holding it up for the camera. Everett Fritz, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be back on the show.
It's very nice. It feels like it's been way too long, though. So this time, let's make an appointment after the show to have you on again.
Sounds great.
The book is beautiful, as all books are from Sophia Institute Press. They always do a great job, but far more than being beautiful on the outside, man, you really dig into it here. So let's just start with what's wrong. Why aren't youth ministries working?
The title of the book is provocative because the subtitle says Why Youth Ministries Aren't Working and What to Do About It. And, I had a moment 6 or 7 years ago when I was sitting at my desk as a youth minister, and I had a very large youth ministry that I'd built from scratch. And I looked at a picture of a group of 100 teens that I'd taken to a big youth conference, and I counted in the picture and discovered that about 10 of them were still practicing their faith several years later. And all of these kids were participating in my youth ministry. And, at some point I came to realize numbers doesn't equal success, that participation doesn't equal success, that it's not enough to say, you've got the best formation, the best program, the best whatever in the country, or the best resources in the country. At some point, the question for me became, what is the difference between making a lifelong disciple of Jesus Christ, and what are the common denominators, and what was actually working? And what I discovered is that those young people that I mentored in a smaller environment, one in which I mentored their prayer lives, we did Bible study, I dug into their lives, I knew their parents well and knew their families, they received most of the relational ministry time that I gave to my ministry. Those were the young people that became lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ. They had a mentor that walked with them and accompanied them in their life, which was more than simply putting on a weekly program in a parish setting. So they were receiving somebody to walk alongside of them. And I realized the reason why I had a 10% success rate of making lifelong disciples is that most of the teenagers in my youth ministry weren't receiving that kind of personalized attention. So what that translated into is I realized that I couldn't do it all on my own. And even the core team that I had built of volunteers wasn't necessarily digging into their lives. We flipped the model of our youth ministry from a large group youth ministry to small group discipleship, where teenagers were meeting weekly in coffee shops and living rooms with mentors in their faith. And we saw just a huge transformation in that in that model of ministry, and a huge transformation. And I talk about that throughout the book, The Art of Forming Young Disciples, kind of the revelation that I came to, the problems that I was seeing in typical youth ministries on a parish level, and then what I did in my own ministries to tackle those problems, and the like instantaneous success that I saw when I flipped my model to small group discipleship.
888-31-TRUTH is the number if you'd like to talk with Everett Fritz. His brand new book, The Art of Forming Young Disciples, 888-318-7884, that number. Is this something that so you come at it from the perspective of a youth minister who's, you know, I'm guessing that your success was apparent. You have 100 people in your group there in that photo, and so I'm sure people were happy with your ministry. But you had a goal not just to make people happy, but to make disciples for Christ, and saw that it wasn't taking. Is this an
instance?
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was really troubled when I looked at that picture and actually started to evaluate based on the measure of success of am I making lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ, because those 10 that became lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ out of the 100 were are to this day phenomenal Catholics, vocation stories, are married with beautiful children. I mean, there's all kinds of beautiful success stories. And then there was this 90 that dropped off and stopped practicing their faith. And so it's like a Grand Canyon size difference between success and failure, and very little in between. So I was really taken aback by that and had to evaluate, well, what did I do with those 10 that I didn't do with the other 90?
And where I wanted to go with that too is this an insight that parents can have as well, that do they have a mentoring role?
Yes, and that's one of the things I talk about throughout the book, is that one of the problems that we see in our culture, I call it in the problem the cultural problem. It's not just a parish problem. It's not just a Catholic education challenge, but a cultural problem is that our culture has largely removed adult mentorship from the lives of American teenagers, or Western civilization in general has removed the role of adults and guiding young people into adulthood. So if you look at the average schedule of an American teenager, they wake up in the morning, they go to school, they have extracurricular activities after school, they come home. Sometimes there's a family dinner, sometimes there's not. They do 2 to 3 hours of homework, and then they go to bed. At what point during their day did they have a meaningful conversation with an adult? And I would say that this is a problem culturally. It's not exclusive to Catholic formation, but at a time period in young people's lives when they're supposed to be learning about adulthood, because their bodies are entering into adulthood, their hormones, their minds, they're starting to enter into adult situations where they're discerning careers and education choices, and they're facing peer pressure and all kinds of pressure with dating and relationships and sex and drugs and alcohol. You know, at a time period when they're entering into adult situations, the very people in their life that are supposed to be guiding them through these things, that really know these situations inside and out because they've been through it, the culture has removed their influence in their life. And so The Art of Forming Young Disciples does spend a decent amount of time on the role of the parent and what a parent can do in terms of forming a young disciple of Jesus Christ. And in particular as well, pointing to really the idea of the parent as primary catechist and the family as the biggest indicator of success and failure in the life of an American or Western civilization, a young person.
888-318-7884, the number if you have questions about forming young disciples, helping young people not just get to catechism class or make sure they finish their confirmation preparation, but that they actually embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and become his disciples. Everett Fritz is the guy to talk to, and we're happy to let you talk with him. 888-318-7884. The number. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live. God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Interested in visiting Catholic Answers? If you live in or plan to visit beautiful Southern California, we'd love to have you come by for a tour. You can meet our apologists and staff, visit our chapel, and watch the broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. To arrange a tour, call us at 619-387-7200 or email us at visit@catholic.com.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
There is not a conversation in the world I'd rather be having on a Friday afternoon than this one, how to help young people to become disciples of Christ. It's the most important question in the world, really. And Everett Fritz is a great guy to talk with about it, because he's not going to give us easy answers or answers that make us feel better. He's going to give us answers that help us make young disciples for Christ. If you would like to discuss that topic, 888-318-7884 is the number. Everett, a whole bunch of folks on the line. Shall we go to calls, or is there anything you wanted to say before we went to calls? No, you ready?
Let's go to calls.
All right. Christina in Mendocino County, California, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. You are on with Everett Fritz. Your question, please. Christina, I didn't do that?
We're off to a great start.
They're looking at me like I dropped. I did not drop that call. I pushed the right button. Call back, Christina, if I did drop the call, even though I know I didn't. Bob in Westerville, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Bob, I'm not going to drop you. Go ahead and ask your question for Everett Fritz.
Okay, Everett. Can you hear me?
We can, yeah.
Yeah, hi, Bob.
Okay. Ironically, I saw this this issue tackled on a cartoon called King of the Hill, and it was an episode called Reborn to Be Wild, and it dealt with the issue of why these youth ministries fail. And basically maybe you can agree or disagree or comment on this, but the rigid father saw the youth ministry as a violation of the Fourth Commandment, but yet the kid was so gung-ho listening to Christian rock and learning about T.O.B. and that sort of thing. And at the end of the episode, the father takes the boy into the garage and pulls an old cardboard box off the shelf and pulls out a members-only jacket that was out of style, a pet rock that the kid didn't want to play with anymore. And he says, you may think that what you're doing right now is fun, but in a couple years ago, you're going to think it's lame. And he says, I don't want the Lord to wind up in this box.
Wow.
Do you see that possibly, you know, by using the different fads to promote the faith, that maybe it's going to be short-lived?
That's a great and an insightful question, coming from King of the Hill, which is really – that's an old cartoon. But, yeah, I think That's one of the things I say about the nature of youth ministry in some parishes, not in every parish, but I'm a believer that formation with young people should be fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun. In fact, fun is something that we should have in our faith. But there's something superficial about, I think, in some respects, large group youth ministry. What I love about small group discipleship youth ministry, which is what I do with young people, is that most of the fun we have revolves around conversations we have in the coffee shop. That's not to say that I don't go out bowling with them on occasion, or, you know, laser tagging or something of that nature. Or that we don't do some large fun activities from time to time. But if we use fun as the draw to get young people in the door, they become pretty wise to that tactic pretty quickly. What they're really looking for is, more than anything, is truth. They're attracted to holiness. Holiness is attractive. I always say that young people don't need to go to church to have fun. So if what we're trying to attract them with to get them in the door is fun, or silliness or games of that nature, at some point it gets pretty old pretty quick, because they don't need to go to church to have fun. They can have fun anywhere, at any time, any place. And when I think of places that I want to go to have fun, church is not at the top of my list. I mean, I don't think of the church as having that role in my life. Yeah, I think that there is a profound truth to that cartoon, basically saying he doesn't want the faith to become a fad or become, you know, the hippest, coolest, whatever the case may be. You can use those tactics to get kids in the door. It's not a bad evangelization technique, but once you get them in the door with some sort of fad or technique or whatever the case may be, you better have truth and holiness and authenticity and depth to what we're communicating, or they'll lose interest pretty quick.
Bob, what do you think of that?
I think that's very good, and I have shown that episode, it's called Reborn to Be Wild, to youth ministers, and it gave them a lot of pause, and they came to the conclusions you did, and they often adjusted their approach accordingly.
Right. I'm so glad you brought – you know what? You have a talent for bringing pop culture into the conversation, apparently, Bob, in a very useful way. I think that's something that youth ministers need. I hope you don't want to be a radio host. Thanks for the call, Bob. I was looking in the book while you and Bob were talking, because there's a story in there where you're talking to another famous Catholic ministry person, and she says that she remembers youth ministry and she has bad memories of it because every time
– She said, I hated youth group. That's what she said to me. I hated youth group.
You're a very blunt person.
Yeah.
Everett. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but the way I recall –
This book is worth reading. The Art of Forming Young Disciples. It's worth reading. I throw some grenades in there. So if you want a book that says what we're all thinking
– Yeah.
The chapter 6 is called Catholic Education, It's a Train Wreck. I mean, that's a grenade in and of itself. I actually had somebody who read that and said, I can't endorse this, because I asked them to give me an endorsement. They said, I can't endorse this, not because I don't agree with it, but because I'm in charge of the superintendent of Catholic schools, and I feel like I would make an enemy in my diocese with that chapter. He says, but you're dead on with it.
What struck me about her comment, including the part about how she hated youth ministry as a young person, was like all the stuff, all the bells and whistles would happen, all this entertaining stuff and the singing and the playing games and all that. And then they would get into small groups to have actual conversations, and there's no time for them. She said that was like her favorite part. She wanted to talk about God. She wanted to talk about these issues that are tough, you know, and they allocate 5 minutes for it. And her favorite part would be over before anybody said anything of any import.
Right. Yeah. The young people, more than anything, what I've seen in youth ministries, they're looking for authentic relationships. If they want inauthentic relationships, they can go to social media. And that's something that has happened with regards to a shift in youth culture across the board, is that young people are, I'm finding, are less and less attracted to the large group gatherings where you do all kinds of different things, because if they want to be in a community of a large number of people, they now do that through social media. Whereas 10, 15 years ago, you'd actually have to go to a location to be in a room with a large number of people if you wanted to be with a large number of people.
Yeah.
But authentic relationships where you can have one-on-one conversations or small numbers of conversations and get into deep relationships with one another, that's still very attractive and not something you can do over social media or other devices.
Everett Fritz is our guest. The Art of Forming Young Disciples is the book. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. And we go now. Oh, we're going to Christina, who hung up on me before in Mendocino, California, listening to EWTN on Sirius Radio. I don't know why you hung up, Christina, but you are on.
Thank you. I'm glad I got back on. I'm calling because I actually have four children, and two of them are in high school age. And what I was looking for to get them, you know, excited about being a Catholic and sharing the good news was to go on a mission trip. I think it would be so amazing and such a wonderful experience for our family. And I've been trying to look into, a Catholic organization that sponsors, some sort of mission trip. And I'm really having a hard time. And I'm wondering, you know, what your thoughts are on that, if you think that would be a great idea, and if you have any suggestions on anywhere that we can look to get on a mission trip for this summer.
Oh, that's a great question. Young people are this generation of young people are very attracted to service. So I think you're dead on with regards to looking for a mission trip, and just speaking to a larger audience, not just you. I mean, mission trips are very attractive for young people to communicate, get them outside of their world and their life and into service of others and things of that nature. I would recommend looking into Family Missions Company, which is a Catholic organization that's based in the southeast somewhere, but they do mission trips all over the world. One other organization, Life Teen, actually has a mission base in Haiti, and I know that they do mission trips out to Haiti. Life Teen does tremendous work. So I would recommend their mission company, or their missionary, work as well. Gosh, I know that there are plenty out there. I wish I could give them all a shout out, but I don't know. I mean, Family Missions Company was the first thing that popped into mind, in particular because they focus in on whole families doing mission trips. So I would talk with them, and if they don't have what you're looking for, chances are they'll know who to direct you to. And again, it's a Catholic organization, which makes it that much better.
Okay, Christina?
Oh, thank you so much. I will look them up. Family Missions Company.
Yes.
When they get a little older, when they graduate from college, look at Christ in the City in Denver, mm-hmm. Colorado.
I'm in Denver, out of Denver. So they're a tremendous organization as well.
Yeah. If you got a college graduate who might be open to doing a year of mission service, but also being very well formed as a Catholic, Christ in the City.
I actually have a couple of guys in my discipleship group who are graduating, and they're going to do a gap year with Christ in the City. So before going off to college.
Oh, you can go before you go to college. I didn't know that. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Let's see. Renee in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. I think, Renee, we're going to have to do one of those things where he'll probably start his answer this side of the break and have to finish it the other side. But go ahead with your question for Everett Fritz.
Hi, Dr. Fritz. Thank you so much. One of the things that I'm concerned about is that I've always noticed children, young people, need a challenge. And I've heard that Islam is one of the fastest growing religions. And we all know that is a challenge, especially when you hear what they do for Ramadan. And I've noticed that people join the Marines to be one of the few, the proud. And when you look at Catholicism, it seems like all we've done is to make it easier and easier and easier so that fasting, you do it 2 days out of the year, whereas, you know, years ago we fasted frequently. Holy days, we moved some of those to Sundays. So you don't have that anymore. And I'm wondering if you can concur with that from what you found with young children or young people? Do they need a challenge?
I think young people are certainly attracted to a challenge. You know, I know that, for example, my men's group, which is mostly guys in their 20s and 30s, in my men's group, they just this past Lent did Exodus 90. I don't know if you've heard of Exodus 90, but there's a considerable amount of asceticism that goes with it. So their Lent consisted of no eating between meals, fasting, bread and water fasting on Fridays, cold showers every day, no television, no alcohol, and like a whole host of other things. Like I'm even forgetting some of the things, and that was what their Lent consisted of. I know in college, I would walk around college campus on occasion in sandals or flip flops during the winter just to get penance out of it. There's something about deep asceticism. I think that is certainly attractive to young people or just a devout Catholics in general. So if we water down some of the challenges of our faith, I think that it can be a contributing factor. Now, you mentioned Islam in terms of it being a...
You know what?
Are we going to break?
Everett, yeah, we got to go to break. I don't want you to do Islam in 10 seconds. We'll do that when we come back. Renee, thanks for that call. We'll finish up the answer on the other side with Everett Fritz, the author of The Art of Forming Young Disciples, after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Can you trust the basis of the Christian faith? The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if your faith is based on a myth? The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, often attacking the reliability of the New Testament and the Gospels. And the sad news is that most people don't know how to answer these charges. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of them. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, The Dawn of Christian History. With his characteristic wit and passion as a master storyteller, Jimmy takes you through an exciting detective story that reveals how history supports the Christian faith. Order your copy of The Dawn of Christian History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed a list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I come from the other side of the tracks, see? My uncle used to have slot machines. Put one nickel in and it's emptied. Boom. And I brought him home in a bag, and my mother looked at me. Where did you get all that money? I said, I won them. You didn't win them. He fixed the machine. I didn't care if he fixed the machine or not, you know?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It is Friday of Easter week, and the joy continues. Everett Fritz is our guest. We're talking about forming young disciples, and on the line we have Renee in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on the wonderful Spirit Catholic Radio all across Nebraska there. And you had addressed the first part of her question. The second part of her question having to do with maybe a more rigorous presentation of the faith or a more challenging presentation of the faith to young people might be inspiring to them. Part of her question included a reference to Islam and the fact that Islam maybe is attractive for that reason.
Yeah, I would be really careful looking at other religions in terms of like what their success and what they do with regards to forming young people. I mean, one of the reasons why Islam is a fast-growing religion is that there are a lot of people who practice Islam and they have children. And they have lots of children, and then they don't have a high conversion rate, and there's some cultural issues with regards to that. I don't know that we could say that like Islam is beating us with regards to evangelization of young people. The Mormons actually are, again, another religion that's quickly growing because they have lots of children and their children don't leave the faith. I think we can learn something from them with regards to the fact that their children don't leave the faith. And it's because parents are the ones who do all of the formation of young people in the faith. They have two things that they built in. The parents do all the formation, and the parents know their faith really well. And the reason why the parents know their faith really well is they have to defend it door to door because they have a mission trip built in for 2 years. And every time you accept a Mormon missionary that comes to your door, you're actually helping them with regards to reinforcing their faith because they're defending their faith for 2 years. And so they get to a point where they articulate it really well. And then when they raise their own children, they articulate and know their faith really, really well. So there's something in that mechanism that's actually really interesting is that parents are the biggest indicators of whether or not their children are going to be lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ and whether they're going to practice and they become the best examples of a living witness in their kids' lives.
How does that strike you, Renee?
That is very interesting, and it really brings out a point, too, that our Catholic families need to have Mom and Dad united on this.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Indeed. Yeah. Renee, thanks very, very much. We are talking The Art of Forming Young Disciples with Everett Fritz. Next on the line is Zach in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Zach, your question for Everett.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. It seems to me that dioceses or parishes that have either a bishop or pastor that promotes and teaches the full truth of the church and is more traditional minded, that they have a thriving population of young people as well as an increase in vocations. So I just have two questions. One is there truth in that statement? And two, if so, what can the dioceses that are sinking learn off of the dioceses that are thriving?
When you say traditionally minded, what do you mean? Because that can mean a variety of things.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure I answer your question accurately.
Yeah, I was actually thinking more of the liturgy and second of traditional meaning, just, you know, understanding the fullness of the church teaching. So teaching about the last four things and some of the harder truths teaching that, you know, at the pulpit.
Yeah, it's interesting. There, just a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if this was discussed on any of the Catholic Answers live shows, but the Vatican hosted a group of young people in the Vatican from all over the world. So they had 300 delegates, the young people drafted a document that they wanted the Pope to hear from the young people of the world. And it's worth a read. It was actually very well put together by this group of young people. But one of the things that that has been articulated by young people to the Pope is that, yes, there are young people. I should say this there, because if you speak for young people and there are all kinds of young people, and I don't want to speak for all of them. There are young people who are have left the church because of their misunderstanding or their struggle or challenge with church doctrine. But then there are a great number of young people as well who are attracted to the faith because of its strong teachings and because of its truth. I have yet in my career in ministry, and even dating back to my college years, I have yet to see a young person who's inspired by heresy or who's inspired by poor liturgy. There is, I think every Catholic wants good liturgy. We might have some differences with regards to speaking to different generations of what constitutes good liturgy. I think I've seen young people become there's no doubt that young people have that parishes that are celebrate traditional Latin masses, for example, have a younger community, and young people, there's a certain number of young people that are attracted to that particular celebration of the liturgy. I don't go to traditional Latin masses, but I like a good liturgy. If there is a liturgical abuse or even just poor execution of elements of liturgy, I become very turned off by it and tend not to go back to those parishes if I'm visiting. If there is a poor articulation of teachings of the faith, I'm not attracted to it. And I'm still young enough to be to be like in the category of considered young people. So it is not enough to say, and I want to say this really, really clearly, because there are listeners, and I see this all the time when I travel the country and give talks on youth ministry and different things. There are listeners and people who listen to talks that they believe all we need to do is restore proper catechesis to the church and young people will come back to us in droves. That's not true. All we need to do is restore great liturgy and great traditional worship and whatever, and people will come back in droves. That's not true. What young people are looking for more than anything is accompaniment, and they need people to walk alongside of them and be living witnesses of Jesus Christ. So young people are attracted to holiness above all else, and they need somebody in their life to show them, and that's what I articulate in this book, The Art of Forming Young Disciples. They need somebody to show them what it means to be a saint in the world today, and that's what they're attracted to more than anything. And our structures for communicating that have largely failed, which is why the book is titled Why Youth Ministries Aren't Working, because our structures in terms of communicating living witnesses are failing. But it makes sense. Sorry, this is a long answer. It makes sense that if young people are attracted to holiness, they're going to be attracted to good liturgy, strong teaching, etc., as part of that package. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Zach, thank you for that call. 888-318-7884 is the number to talk with Everett Fritz. And I appreciate you addressing that, because we are in, various parishes are doing various things around liturgy, some renewing the extraordinary form of the liturgy and all that. And it struck me what you said about the personal witness of holiness. It's not just enough to be a holy person. It's not just enough to be close to young people. It's got to be holy people who are close to young people showing them how it's done.
Right.
Let's go to Andrew in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, listening on Lamb Radio. Andrew, you are on with Everett Fritz. Your question, please.
Hi. So you kind of hit at this a little bit with the idea that parents are the first catechists, and it's really a lot of their responsibility. I'm the director of religious ed, and I have for a couple years now noticed it's just very difficult to get parents engaged, even from the very start, to set up a parent meeting before classes begin in the fall, and to get parents together and to get them energized. Mostly it's just the teachers that show up. The parents just don't at all. And a lot of the parents don't go to church or to even try to get their kids to go consistently. So it's just, is there a way to engage the parents? I just think that is one of the biggest problems we face right now, is a lack of parent involvement. And even in regards to what you were kind of just saying, is holy people with close proximity to kids, I think it's hard to find people who are genuinely trying to live the faith and have a good relationship with Christ. I think there's just a lost generation or two in there, and I'm just having a hard time trying to figure out how to engage them.
Yeah, you and all of us. Everett?
Yeah. Well, yeah, Generation X, just in terms of like using some typical kind of catechetical terminology, Generation X is referred to as the uncatechized generation. Now, there was a generation, an entire generation, who are now forming the next generation of young people that was uncatechized and not inspired. I mean, it's not enough to do catechesis. We also have to do evangelization, discipleship, etc. So, and those are three different terms. which constitute three different things. The show is only an hour long. I mean, talking about how to re-engage parents into ministry and into the church is a long topic of discussion. And so I would actually say if you have if you want really specific advice, approach me through my website, standrewmissionaries.org, and we can continue the conversation. But just something really practical, I would say that every movement in the church has always started small. That every movement and every program, everything that I've seen that is successful and has longevity, starts with small movements. Jesus started with 12. Now it grew to thousands and thousands of people, but it started with 12. And I have found the most success in terms of re-engaging parents and giving them really practical things. And this is I have a strategy that I talk about in the Art of Forming Young Disciples book. But I do quite a few coffee chats with parents that I will actually identify a parent that I want to get re-engaged in the faith or somebody that I think has potential. And I'll start asking them to come out and meet with me for coffee. And that becomes a larger discussion in terms of forming small groups with parents. But parents have a lot of needs. They're busier than any other demographic of people. Trying to get them to address their own pastoral needs can be really difficult. They will neglect their pastoral needs. But in a lot of cases, and even in cases where we see where parents drop their kids off at CCD, they don't go to mass, whatever, there is some acknowledgement on their part that their kids have pastoral needs and they're trying to get them addressed. So they're not like entirely gone, even if they're not addressing their own pastoral needs. The first engagement that I have with these parents or point of entry is to just go out to coffee with them and try to get them to talk about their own life and their own needs. And then I start to develop a ministerial plan based on those conversations. So I would that one-on-one invite to coffee is a huge ministerial tool that I use to re-engage people that are unengaged. And I would recommend taking that approach.
Thanks, Andrew. We do have to head to a break. I'm going to make a little pitch here in tandem with what you just said, because I won't deny any of what you just said. But there's local people in every diocese now in the United States either starting or have started a Catholic radio station. You should support them. If you want adults to come back to the faith, it is a miracle worker. And I'm not talking about supporting Catholic Answers now. I'm begging for money. I'm saying your local Catholic radio station. And if you can put the bumper sticker, but not if you're a bad driver, all right, but if you're a reasonable driver, put the bumper sticker on your car. I have heard from hundreds of people who say, I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of people who say, I saw that bumper sticker and my life has completely changed because I started listening. People my age and in that range, they need to be recatechized, and you can do so much for adults to return them to the Catholic faith. If you just support your local Catholic radio station and put the bumper sticker on your car, that's my advertisement. We'll be right back with more Everett Fritz, The Art of Forming Young Disciples, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Have you ever dialogued with someone who espouses relativism, which says there is no truth, or it might be true for you, but not for me? It's pretty frustrating. Deep down, we know these claims are false, but we often don't know why. Here's the reason. To say there is no truth is a contradiction. The assertion is tantamount to saying it's true that there is no truth. Plain absurdity. Now, the other position, there is no absolute truth, just truth relative to the individual set of beliefs, is problematic as well. The usage of the verb is implies an assertion about the objective order of things. It's the same thing as saying it's absolutely true that there is no absolute truth, which of course is a contradiction. No matter how the relativist slices the pie, he ends up with a contradiction, making relativism an unreasonable worldview. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Did you know that Catholic Answers Live is on TV? What began as a monthly series on EWTN in April of 2017 is now going to be coming to you on a weekly basis. You can catch Catholic Answers Live TV Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN, with an encore at 2:30 a.m. on Sundays. We'll also be available soon on Apple TV, Roku, and the Augustine Institute's multimedia platform, Form. Make a point of making Catholic Answers Live TV part of your weekly view, and we'll see you on the airwaves.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and you've probably heard me explain Catholicism to non-Catholic callers on the radio or engage opponents in formal public debates. I've always hoped these interactions would show people how to graciously defend and share our faith, but they're not enough. That's why I've created a weekly podcast that will help Catholics answer the toughest objections against our faith. Every episode of the Council of Trent will provide listeners with a conversation roadmap that will help them share their faith with anyone. Keep in mind that I hate boring lectures. These podcasts will contain entertaining, informative, and practical explanations of the faith, as well as interviews with the best Catholic writers and speakers in the world today. Visit TrentHornPodcast.com today to find out how you can subscribe to my new podcast. That's TrentHornPodcast.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We are joined by the irascible Everett Fritz. No, that's not. I don't think irascible is a compliment. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
One of your callers called me Dr. Fritz, which I took as a compliment because I'm not a doctor. But I have a master's, but I don't have a PhD.
But I like the sound of Dr. Fritz.
Yeah, it was a nice promotion there.
Maybe you should get your kids to start calling you that.
If I had a doctorate, my kids would refer to me as Dr. Fritz.
Yeah, you'd probably make everybody refer to me as Dr. Fritz. And Dr. Fritz's latest book is The Art of Forming Young Disciples, Why Youth Ministries Aren't Working and What to Do About It. We go now to Harry in Missouri listening on KEXS. Harry, you are on with Dr. Fritz. Your question, please.
Oh, yes. Thanks for taking the call.
Happy to.
I'm in the car with my son Josh and my daughter Grace and my other son Matt.
Hi, Josh and Grace and Matt. Oh, sorry, I just had to say hi to him.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
We had a question about youth ministry in terms of retreats and when they have like different programs and parishes. Have you ever heard of Christ Renews His Parish?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Why
is there not a program like that offered for youth? First of all, to get them involved in the faith, have a weekend of that nature, because it just seems that adults that go through that program, their lives are completely reformed and changed. The Holy Spirit comes in, and they're ready pretty much to get into some ministry work or groups in the church. Why are youth groups not created where they have programming like that or retreats like that? And then a second question is, when you finally have the youth groups, usually it's like different youth activities. Why do those not have more broken down committees or groups?
Oh, come on now.
For adults.
Now you're talking his language now. Go ahead, Everett Fritz.
Wait, what was the last part of that question? I missed that.
Okay, Harry, I'm sorry.
We were just wondering because, say, Christ Renews His Parish and an adult, and then they feed into all the different parish groups and they build on that. But some of our youth groups are more geared towards youth activities or fun things outside. Should there be some way, or what are some ideas, I guess, you would have or share about could those youth groups be broken down into different committees or groups so that from this retreat or renewal program, kids could feed into those and then have more of an active role in their parish?
This is actually – so this is great because you're getting me an opportunity to plug my organization. So my nonprofit ministry, St. Andrew Missionaries, actually coaches parishes on how to develop a ministry like what you are articulating. So I work with Catholic institutions. So I'm working with a high school in Des Moines, Iowa that they have a Kairos retreat, which is really successful in terms of an encounter experience with their young people. And then what they've developed this year is a ministry called Ut Fidem, And it's all about small discipleship groups that have started out of that retreat experience. And they meet weekly with their discipleship group leaders for Bible study, for ongoing formation in the faith. And they went from zero to 120 students involved in this ministry this year, freely. It's voluntarily involved, and their ministry is really taking off and thriving. And they're starting to put together a pilgrimage to Colorado this year. I'm working with the Diocese of Fort Worth, Texas, on shifting their ministry to small discipleship group ministry. There are, I think, plenty of youth ministries around the country that do weekend retreats, that do I came up through Tech, which came out of the Crucial movement, which is similar in scope to the Christ Renews His Parish mindset. So Tech stood for Teens Encounter Christ, or To Encounter Christ, and was all about a weekend experience that then built out into ongoing youth ministry for the young people that would go through these retreats. So it does exist. Why more parishes don't implement that model, I don't know. One of the things I say in the book, Forming Young Disciples, and one of the reasons why I felt called to write this book, is because I see a lot of youth ministries that are stuck in a mindset that's not working. A mindset that is purely youth activities is not a youth ministry that's successful. It is something that came out of the 70s and 80s, recognizing that traditional classroom catechesis, young people weren't responding to it because it was, to be blunt, dull and boring. And so they tried to implement entertainment, and that basically the pendulum swung in the entirely different direction, where all they did was fun activities. And that type of youth ministry isn't forming young disciples either. So there are youth ministries around the country that are implementing what you are talking about. And sometimes what we see in what I see in parishes is a lack of vision to really implement a process by which young people can enter into the faith, encounter Christ, be accompanied along the way by mentors in their faith, and then plug into ministry in the church or into the society so that they can form the next generation of disciples as well. That's really what we want to see from our youth ministries around the country.
Harry, it seems like you, as I was saying, it almost seemed like you were a plant. You were so right on the money for all that Everett does. Was that answer satisfying to you?
Yeah, but can I ask real quick, my wife is a junior high youth minister. Do you have that on a website laid out where they have that retreat and the discipleship groups?
I don't. I mean, what I do is I'll start with so if you go to my website, standrewmissionaries.org, what I will do is start a consultation, like set up a phone consultation, because what I found is that every youth ministry is different, and I didn't want to start a program. I wanted to give the concepts to people that so that they can develop what fits for their particular parishes, because I'm not a believer that one program fits every parish. A Christ Renews His Parish retreat will work in a lot of parishes, but it won't work in every parish. So I didn't want to set up like one particular program. But I start with a phone consultation so that there's a person that you're working with, and then move to creating a strategic plan to help a parish implement.
Okay. Oh, that's great.
Harry, thanks. I'm going to move real quick, see if we can get one more answer in before we have to go. Heather in Alt, Colorado, listening on the EWTN app. I'm so sorry, Heather. Our time is very short. Real quick, your question for Everett Fritz.
Hi, Everett. Yes, I am looking for resources for parents on introducing younger children to some theological concepts. I have an 8-year-old that is asking some really good questions, and I can provide her some information, but some resources that would allow me to present it maybe at a level that would be appropriate for her.
Gosh. And I work primarily with junior high teenagers and young adults. So children's ministry, in terms of resources, that's a good question. Off the top of my head, Well, two things off the top of my head. I would say that the best thing that you can do as a parent is be educated yourself. That one of the best indicators on how well you know the faith is whether or not you can teach it or explain it yourself. So I get a lot of practice from my own children who are ages 10, 7, and 5 in terms of articulating the faith and putting it on a level they can understand. And so I would say one of the best things you could do is be educated in the faith yourself. Now, in terms of children's ministry, that's the best resources. I could recommend resources that I know of, but I don't necessarily know of best resources. So I would say go to formed.org is a great resource. And, of course, Catholic Answers, which you're already familiar with because you're calling into the show.
Oh, I heard of them before. All right. Heather, thanks very, very much. Appreciate the call. Everett Fritz, the book is The Art of Forming Young Disciples, Why Youth Ministries Aren't Working and What to Do About It. That's from Sophia Institute Press. Everett, thanks for a very, very fine hour. Appreciate it. Always appreciate it when you're here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
We'll do it again sometime. We seem to be doing it once every time you write a book, but maybe we should get one in the middle there before you have to write the next book. Nick, thanks very much. Brandon, thanks very much. Darren, thanks very much. It has been a very blessed Easter week around here. A little invitation for you. If you went to Easter Mass last week, but you don't usually go to Mass, go this week. It's Divine Mercy Sunday, and it's a wonderful celebration. Jesus Christ is truly risen and is the light of the nations. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.